From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. 6 years ago, the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra filled Studio A for a rousing edition of Backstage Pass. Since then, there have been changes. A new music director, a new orchestra manager, some different mentors, and of course, an all-new set of musicians. What hasn't changed is the brilliant level of music making by some of the area's finest young performers. Today, the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra returns to Studio A with music director Dr. James Mick and more. 84 terrific teens and their fearless leader shake the rafters next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. We have got a big show today. 84 teenagers have come in to play with the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, and it's going to be a program of Berlioz, Fauré, and Rasbicki. We'll start things off with the relatively new music director of your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, Dr. James Mick. Welcome to the show. Thank you for putting this together.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's our pleasure.
So this is what, your third season?
This is my third season, correct.
So next up is your first big concert of the year. That's just around the corner. And then after that, the side-by-side concert is coming up soon. What's the history of the side-by-side and with the Rochester Philharmonic and the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra?
Yeah, so the RPYO started in 1970, and it was an organization that I think has developed out of the RPO, and it's connected very intimately with that. And we are very, very fortunate to have that connection. A lot of youth orchestras exist on their own, but for us, we're able to work with the musicians of the RPO who provide sectionals for us, who help with seating auditions, who help with any number of things. In fact, you'll hear a couple of them today who are helping out on the Rasbicki. And it's just a really close, intimate relationship, and we exist underneath that umbrella.
So what's it like for these players to work with the RPO directly?
It's priceless, in my opinion. Having, again, with the sectionals that we have, I think, at least four. We also do a retreat at the beginning of the year, and so those musicians are always here, and they are, the RPO musicians are very generous with their time, with their encouragement, with sharing their expertise, which is just really to have people at the top of the field working with young students, you know, who are developing themselves. It's just truly special, and it brings a lot of maturity, I believe, to the ensemble and a lot of inspiration.
As a former RPYO mom, I know what those retreats are all about, but why don't you tell us what those retreats are all about?
Those retreats are the best way to kick off the year. So we typically have a run-through rehearsal, and then we do a retreat where we start on Friday. And so we have rehearsals, and we have sectionals, and then we meet all day Saturday, and it's just a chance for us to be in an environment where we're away from everything else. And it's the only thing that we have is music and friendship. And so it's a chance for us to focus on the season. It's a chance for us to get to know each other, and a chance for us to get to know the RPO musicians at the same time. And so we will rehearse all day on Saturday, doing individual sectionals, family sectionals, large rehearsal. We always kick off that evening, or end that evening, I should say, with a big performance down at the barn, which is this just kind of a cool building. We're able to open those doors. It's usually a beautiful fall day, and we'll play through the music. It's always really inspiring, given that it's only the second week that we've had the music. And then we stay one more night and have a campfire and take off on Sunday. So it's just a beautiful way to kick off the season.
Although I can attest to the fact that it's not always a beautiful fall night.
Lately, it's been beautiful.
So this isn't open to the public, is it?
On our last performance, we have family. So we will have family, parents can come in and sit in the barn, and some of them will sit outside in the grass. But as far as the public, it is not open for that retreat.
Where is this?
This is held at the Rotary Sunshine Club, which is a beautiful camp just south of Rochester, as I'm sure as many people know. And we've been very fortunate, I believe, for 20 plus years to be holding it at this location.
Were you in a youth orchestra?
I was, yes.
So did you get this retreat thing?
I did not.
You did not?
I did not, no.
So this being the music director of this youth orchestra brought to you some brand new things that you were undertaking.
It did, you know, and when I was first looking at RPYO and was in discussions, it was such a prideful thing that the administration was talking to me about. And then to experience it for the first time was just truly beautiful and amazing, and knowing that I hadn't gone through it before, but to see the outcomes and the level of musicianship that rises so quickly through that is really a special thing.
Well, we're going to talk to you a little bit later on, Dr. Mick, Dr. James Mick, the music director of your Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. We'll talk to him a little bit more about his time with this orchestra and how he got the job. We'll also have a couple of those mentors that he mentioned coming up shortly as well. You're listening to Backstage Pass. We are live from Studio A, and musically, we start things off with the Hungarian March from Berlioz's Damnation of Faust.
Thank you.
The Hungarian March from Berlioz's Damnation of Faust. Your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra playing live from Studio A on Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. One of the touchstones of the RPYO is its connection to the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, including that side-by-side concert and sectionals, which are led by RPO members. Today, two of those mentors join us today. From the cello section, Lars Kirvan. Hi, Lars.
Hi, Julia. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. And from the trumpet section, Wes Nantz.
Hey, Julia.
Great to have you here. Let's start with those sectionals. What exactly happens when you're doing your mentoring session, Lars?
Well, it's a process that we get together from the beginning of the season, and we start with the basics, getting ensemble together and the rhythmical structure, and then we start working on music. And we put together everything we can in the short amount of time we get together over a few times throughout the season. And hopefully it all comes together for these wonderful performances that you're going to hear today.
Does the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra have sectionals, Wes?
Only on certain rehearsals if we're maybe needing a little bit of attention. But normally the whole orchestra works at one time with the conductor. We're not kind of split up. You'll see sometimes after rehearsals or in the breaks, maybe sections kind of pulling a few things together if they have to work on maybe pitch or just work something out. That's very common on the stage, but there's no kind of organized sectional time.
So you've both been mentors with the RPYO for a while now. What was it, Lars, that made you want to step in and do this?
Well, I guess it started from my own teaching experience, getting involved with students of that age. I grew up in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, where I was fortunate enough to experience a similar situation to RPYO. And it was the first place where it really sparked my interest in orchestral playing. So 4 or 5 years ago, when I had the opportunity to step in and teach one of the sectionals, it was an easy transition for me because I was able to then impart some of the knowledge that I've gained over the years from the many mentors I had and share that with these talented young musicians.
Wes, this orchestra is very different in many ways for you because you view this orchestra as a parent. You have actually had kids come through the system and very successfully as well. So what does this orchestra mean to you? Why this orchestra?
Well, I think it's important that it has this mentorship with the RPO proper. And I had one of my daughters in the past was a horn player here, and I have a daughter. My youngest daughter is an oboe player on the stage today, so it's great to have Bridget here. And yeah, so I've been on both sides of it as a parent and a coach and a member of the RPO. So I think it's really great to train these young kids up and give them a chance to kind of have a real look at what it's like to play orchestral music. And they're playing the same music that we're playing in the RPO. There's nothing different on the music that they're playing to them than what we play. It's not some simplified high school version of Pines of Rome or Hungarian March. They're playing every note that we're trying to play. We're both headed in the same direction. So I think it's important for them to see how difficult that is on a certain level and also what it takes to be successful so that if they hear a great performance, they know that didn't happen by accident. Those people had great discipline and they spent a lot of time perfecting their craft, and hopefully that gives them a target to aim to as students and performers in their own right.
Do you well up a little bit when one of your kids has a great solo and nails it?
I hope so. I don't know if she has any solos today. And then the other side for, I think, both Lars and I, too, is like I have had for many, many years students in the Rochester Philharmonic. Three of the trumpet players playing today are my students. And so there's that sense of welling up, too, to hear them doing their thing and learning and being able to work with them, too.
Lars, your kids aren't quite old enough yet.
Not quite. However, my son is in first grade. Hi, Max, and hi, Tyler. And he is beginning the cello at Harris Hill Elementary. And it's exciting, but a little scary, too, because he chose the cello over all the instruments he could have. And I am not teaching him, though. I'm letting his school teacher do that and my wife, Liana, go to his classes with him at this point, who is a violinist in the RPO. I'm staying out of it. But if
do
I
you,
could,
would you like him to end up here?
I would absolutely, yes. I think it's a great experience. I mean, it will give him a sense of what it's really like out in the music world because it's at such a high level, and I think it would be great for him.
So let's hear that high level, shall we? Foray will be represented twice on the program today. This is our first piece by Foray. It's the prelude from Pelléas and Mélisande as we listen to James Mick and the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra on Backstage Pass.
Thank you.
The prelude from Pelléas and Mélisande by Gabriel Fauré, played for us by your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. On Backstage Pass, the music director is James Mick, Dr. James Mick, who sits down with us now. So what was your instrument when you were growing up?
So growing up, I was initially a piano player and then moved to violin. And when I was in middle school, seventh grade, I was ready to potentially retire my music career, but I decided to switch to double bass. And that kind of gave me new life. And I was able to get into jazz and a number of other rock bands and, you know, just a number of things. And so double bass is my primary instrument now.
So you kind of became one of the cool kids.
I guess you could say so.
What were you like as a kid? I mean, why were you ready to dump your music career?
That's a good question. I'm not quite sure how it all worked out. First off, my grandmother was an organist for 50 years, and 50 plus years, I believe, at her church in a small town, Long Island, Kansas, actually, town of a couple hundred. And so she encouraged her family to be instrumentalists. So my mother was a flute player through high school only in a small rural town. So I think my mother particularly felt that it was important that we had music as young children. For me, I hear a story that apparently I went into a music shop for my older sister and I threw a fit when I saw the violins on the wall. And my mom said I was usually a pretty calm child and she hadn't really experienced that and she had to take me outside. And so they knew that there was potentially something there. And so in sixth grade, they surprised me when I came home with when they came home, both my father and mother, and they had a violin in their hands. And I just remember just being, I don't know why, but I was just totally enthralled with it and loved it. And we didn't really necessarily listen to a lot of classical music, but there was just something that was, I guess, innate that was there.
What was it about the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra that made you want to apply for the job?
Great question. The history of the organization, the connection to the RPO that we have, and then the quality of what they are doing.
So when you look at this orchestra, what changes have you made over the last 3 years? Because you get a package, and then you have to personalize that package, as it were. So what did you feel you wanted to do with this orchestra?
That's a great question. First off, the package that I got was very beautiful. It was wrapped very well and a lot of time, a lot of hours, fantastic music directors in the past and managers and boards that have helped put all this together and RPO musicians. So for me, to be honest, I didn't really want to tamper with much. I wanted to kind of come in and learn the culture and get to know the people that have made it this way. And I think the big thing for me is just sharing these amazing works of music, you know, that no matter what genre you like and no matter at what age you are, just to hear this beauty and to hear these pieces. And for me, that's you know, what I love is being able to share this with these students. And the Pelléas of Mélisande, I mean, this is not an easy piece to play. This is very difficult. It requires a lot of maturity. It's a very heavy story, you know, but yet how do you not introduce this, and how do you not create those tone colors and those sounds and get 84 wonderful musicians on to experience that?
So how do you go about picking out the pieces of music?
That's probably what I spend the most time on, probably a little bit to my current manager's angst, you know, and so she's always, you know, she's right on top of things and loves having, you know, music selected, but I spend a lot of time. I have sketches. I have, you know, when I first sat down, when I was offered the job, you know, I sketched out what pieces do I want to do every 5 years, you know, on a rotation so that every student who comes through, and if we were to say that they were here for 4 years, that they hit certain major works. And then I think, you know, anything from auditions and students and, you know, what do we have? And I spend a lot of time sketching things out. I have things far in the future. I change things and there's just so many factors. I really don't know, you know, the length of time and are we hitting different genres and are we hitting some of the major works and what's experience, you know, obviously for the students, you know, like what do I think that they want to hear? What might push them a little bit and challenge them to maybe something they wouldn't necessarily pick the first time to hear but would fall in love once they heard it.
So what are a couple of those core pieces that are going to pop up every 5 years?
We're playing one of them, Pines of Rome. Right now, we also have Tchaikovsky Symphony. That's maybe my own bias. I just love Tchaikovsky symphonies. So we did Tchaikovsky 4 recently on the first season that I was here, which was a must for me. Pictures at an Exhibition. So some of those just fantastic works, yeah.
Well, we go back to Pelléas and Mélisande now for two movements, the second and the fourth movement of this beautiful work by Fauré. played for us today on Backstage Pass by Dr. James Mick and your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. the second and fourth movements of Gabriel Fauré's Pelléas and Mélisande, the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra plays on Classical 91.5 Backstage Pass. I'm going to talk to a couple of the students in this orchestra, starting off with the principal cellist, Joyce Luo. Hello, Joyce.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for coming and working his way all the way from the back of the orchestra as horn player Trevor Healy. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Joyce, what year are you and where did you go to school?
I'm a senior and I go to Pittsford Bendon High School.
A senior, big year. And what about you, Trevor?
I'm also a senior and I go to Honeyway Central School.
So this is a big year for both of you. Lots of moving on. You're looking at your schools, yes?
Yes.
You're a cellist, you're a horn player. When did you start playing, Joyce?
I actually started playing piano when I was 4 years old, and then like on a whim, I just switched to cello in fourth grade, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah, because the cello is a whimsical kind of instrument.
Yeah.
And you play the ever-impossible French horn. Why would you pick that instrument?
I have no idea. Well, I started playing piano in second grade, and in fourth grade, I picked up the horn, and I was like, hey, this might be fun. So I've kept with it.
Not everybody wants to go into soloists or be a professional musician post Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. So where are your journeys taking you, you hope, Joyce?
Yeah, so I'm not planning to major in music, but I'm considering a minor, and I'm definitely going to play in like the orchestra at my college and play like chamber music and take private lessons still.
And your major will be?
I'm thinking biomedical engineering right now.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Trevor, what do you want to do?
I want to major in music education, and I also want to study music composition.
So you'll be the next great composer?
We'll see.
You'll see. So one of the big touchstones of this orchestra, of course, is the mentoring. Have you had a moment, your mentor's right there, but have you had like this Lars moment, Joyce, that was just, boy, this changed something for me? And Trevor, I'm going to ask you the same question, so start thinking of an answer.
Well, I mean, he's really, really helpful in sectionals, and he always brings us food, so that's a plus. But he's really helpful. He is really methodical with going over fingerings, and we always go over everything slow so we can build it up to play it fast, and I think that's always really helpful.
Trevor?
Well, the horn mentor is Maura McCune-Corvington, and she's also my private lesson teacher, so we get to work with her a lot, and hi, Maura, if you're listening. And it's an absolute treat working with her. There's so much energy and so much wisdom about everything and the best mnemonic devices you could possibly imagine to remember everything about the horn. So it's great working
with
them.
Such as?
Oh, geez. Well, you're breathing.
Give us one mnemonic device.
Okay, so with your breathing, you think sleepy face. So like you're tired, it's 4 a.m. So when you're breathing, it gets a really nice relaxed breath, so there's not a lot of tension in your sound. So
no sleepy face just yet. Okay.
Not quite yet.
Not quite yet. We still have a couple of more questions to ask. What do you do for fun? I mean, obviously this is fun too, but are you sporty types?
Yeah, I also play tennis. I'm on the varsity tennis team at my school, and I love cooking and writing too.
Tennis. I heard, by the way, that you're pretty good.
Okay, I guess.
Admit it.
I don't know.
How far did you go, Joyce?
We got fifth at states this year.
Congratulations. So. Well done.
Thank you.
Trevor?
I'm also an athlete. I run cross country, indoor track, and I'm also on the varsity tennis team. I'm also a Boy Scout, and I take karate classes and write music.
So one question from each of you. When you walk away from the RPYO at the end of this year, what will you take with you?
Well, this experience has been honestly amazing, and I've just learned so much about teamwork and collaboration throughout, and it's amazing to be able to like collaborate with people who have similar passions with you, and I look forward to doing that in college.
And Trevor?
The RPYO has been an experience for me where I've just met the absolute best friends you could ever imagine, and just collaborating with them and playing great music, it's priceless, and I'm always going to remember it.
thank you for being here. And you have to get to the back of the orchestra because you have some work to do still. The Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra joins us today on Backstage Pass. And the rest of our time together will be with the Pines of Rome, starting off with the Pines of the Catacombs by Ottorino Respighi from the Pines of Rome. Here's James Mick and your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra.
Thank you.
The Pines of the Catacombs, from Respighi's Pines of Rome. That was the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra and their conductor, James Mick. I'd like to welcome now Irene Narotsky, who is the orchestra manager. Hi, Irene.
Hello.
And the chairman of the board. No, not Frank Sinatra, but Dave Lane. Nice to have you here as well, Dave.
Good to be here.
Actually, the two of you began your involvement with the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra, the youth orchestra, as parents. You had kids. Were you a musical kid, Irene?
I was not. I was not a musical kid, although my parents were very interested in the orchestra, and we attended the RPO. I grew up in Rochester. We attended the RPO frequently, but I did not myself play music.
So was it a surprise to you to suddenly have these musical boys?
So I have three boys, and they're not all musical, but it's interesting because we gave music lessons to the first two piano lessons, and we just had the third one. He was too young to start piano lessons, and he would sit there and watch them. And then every time we'd leave those piano lessons, he'd say, "When is it my turn to take piano lessons?" And so we gave him piano lessons, and he was the one who continued to take music and do it, and he was the one who joined the RPYO.
Fooled you.
Yeah.
And what about you, Dave? Were you a musical kid?
I was a musical kid. I started at Project Super at Eastman as a Suzuki student, as one of the early programs of Suzuki programs in the country when I was three. And my father was doing graduate work at Eastman at the time. And music's been a part of my life, ever since. So you might say my whole life. And I'm a real advocate for for people really being involved with music, whether they're an instrumentalist or whether they just enjoy music. I think it can really enhance people's lives.
So how does the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra enhance our lives?
Our lives meaning the Rochester community?
Yeah.
Well, I think I get great inspiration from hearing this music played. As Wes said, this is not toned-down music. This is real high-level music. And I get such inspiration from having students play this high level of music, and I think that is just an inspiration to all people in the Rochester community.
Why did you choose the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra for your daughter?
So, yes, my daughter Kelsey was a violinist in the orchestra, and she's been in several local orchestras and wanted to end up in the RPYO because she felt that it really gave her the basis, the foundation for a good musical education. There's a lot to be learned musically, but there's also a lot to be learned about how to approach things and how to take things apart and learn them, how to learn the music. It's difficult music, as you said. So how do you, as a high schooler, approach this? And the mentors can help them solve that problem. They can then bring that into other parts of their lives as well.
I think that there's a misconception sometimes with high-level youth orchestras that these are snobby kids, that they're all going to grow up to be, the next Isaac Perlman or something. These are you're shaking your head. These are pretty normal kids.
These are totally normal kids. They're great kids. They bonded really lovely at the retreat. They're friendly. They're normal kids who have other interests. They do sports. They're just great. They're not snobby at all.
So here's a question for you, Dave, because it takes a lot of money and a lot of moving pieces to keep the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra going. You're the chair of the board. You know this better than anybody. What does this orchestra need?
Well, this orchestra, let me start with what this orchestra has, and then we can get to what we need. What we have is a terrific group of kids and a terrific group of parents behind them that support their kids and help with that. But what the orchestra needs is the financing, frankly, to be able to do. There are a lot of hidden costs to this kind of an organization.
Such as?
We have organizational costs, Irene, and we have the music director, Dr. Mick. We need places to play. We need to purchase some additional equipment, some percussion equipment and so forth, so that we can further outreach into the community and sort of spread our word, our musical words. All of that there's a lot to it.
You mentioned the parents and the volunteers are really key to this orchestra, aren't they, Irene?
They are. They really, without parents, we really couldn't conduct this orchestra the way it is. They are our chaperones at the retreat. They bring snacks. They do some music library work. They are really the key to keeping this organization going.
Although I think that you're both very modest in saying that, because I suspect that you are both quite key in keeping the organization going as well. Thank you, Irene Narosky, Dave Lane, for joining us. This is Backstage Pass, and we have one last piece of music, and it's a doozy. Here are the Pines of the Appian Way from the Pines of Rome with James Smith and your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. Pines of the Appian Way from Respighi's Pines of Rome. That was Dr. James Mick and your Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra with a little bit of boost at the end there from the horns of the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra. That's a wow.
Still catching my breath.
Dr. James Mick, just a couple more minutes together here. You are, in essence, always saying hello and goodbye at the same time when you have a youth orchestra. Is it a permanently bittersweet experience?
I think you nailed it right on the head, yes. So to have students here that have contributed so much in their personalities and to watch every orchestra takes shape, you know, and then we start a new year again, and it's hard to let go, but it's also super exciting to see what happens next. And this particular group of students has really bonded very, very quickly. And this has been really special for me this year in particular.
It should be said that you drive all the way from Ithaca to
yes.
do this. You have a commute.
It's 100 miles door to door, yes. And so it's a couple hours to get to the rehearsal space. But, I mean, who wouldn't do that for something that sounds like this, you know?
So have you had a moment? I'm sure you have had a few, but can you think of a specific moment when you were up there working with the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra and you thought, yeah, I took the right job?
I think I just had one. There's so many musical moments that this group has, you know, and we talk about that. You know, the first time that I played Jupiter, and I was watching all the cellos sway back and forth, you know, through the melody, and I just remember being a junior in high school and the hair standing up on the back of my neck, and you know, wet stuff started coming out of my eyes, and I didn't know what was going on, and you know, and then to experience that again, you know, through a lot of these works into college, and then to have that same experience with them now. I hope that it's just such a powerful feeling, and the way that it just ties everything. It's visceral. It's cognitive, it's physical. I mean, there's just so much that's involved with this.
So what do you want these students to take away from the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra?
I just want them to have a life where they experience this, they recognize it, and that they embrace it. And when we have these moments, you know, they encapsulate time, you know, for, you know, I hope that Pines of Rome for them, the next time, if they hear it 30 years from now, they're going to remember being 16, sitting next to their stand partner and, you know, everything that takes, that involves with that. And I think that's the power that music and the arts give us.
Thank you very much for being here on Backstage Pass. Our executive producer and director is Gene Fisher. Our audio technician is Andrew Croucher with help from Lindsay Brown. Our floor manager is Robert Braden. James Heil is our intern. I'm your producer and host, Julia Figueres, with so many thanks to everyone from the Rochester Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, to Ruth Watson, Chris Nessel, and Jason Milton for getting everything set up, and to the many parents who always get these great kids to where they have to be. I'm Julia Figueres. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting. This is Classical 91.5 and 90.3.